Okay, good vach, everybody. First of all, as always, a very special thank you to the Shriers, to Eliza, for opening up their bias. As Hashem, all the Zoras and Chizik should be big schus of only Simcha and Bracha. The shir tonight also, it's been long overdue to give this shir Lili Nishmas, Aviva Mansbach's grandfather, who sponsored the shir. This was already supposed to be on Shavuos. I know there was a fill-in, but Baruch Hashem, we're still in the Tashlumim of Shavuos. So her grandfather was Daniel Moshe ben Robert Simcha. Mir Tashem is Nesham Hashem Aliyah. If you have big schus for Nesham, it should be Mel Tzioshe for his beautiful mishpacha. To a zeicha to the Gula Shleima b'mehera b'meinu. To start just by saying, Hoidu LaHashem ki tov ki leilam chasdo. If you would have asked any doctor, if you would have asked any nurse a week ago right now, mamish, 1 week ago was when I was brought into the hospital by Hatzalah. It was Matzei Shabbos going into Yontif. Literally arrived at the ER at about 10:30. It's 10:40 now. So exactly 1 week ago, if you would have asked any doctors, any nurses in the state that I was in, that Matzah Shabbos, that Sunday, he would have said, 1 week later, you'll be sitting giving the shir in the Shrier home, a Matzah Shabbos Kodesh, they'd be laughing. It was impossible. So Baruch Hashem, the Rabbi Nishalom has his plans. And Baruch Hashem, with tremendous Siyat Shemaya, and I believe deeply your tefillos and many others' tefillos. So Baruch Hashem, we're here, and I'm walking, still slowly, but I'm walking and feeling a million times better than I felt a few days ago, Baruch Hashem. You know, Rabos Machshavos Belavish, Vatzas Hashem Hisakum. One of the biggest lessons of the whole tekufa I went through, and we're going to discuss, I'm going to tell you Rachel Bircha Katana, all the details, only to learn from. There's Rabos Machshavos Blavish V'Atzas Hashem Yisakum. A lot of times in life, we have our plans. We have our expectations, we have our desires. Rabos Machshavos Blavish. There are many thoughts in the mind of an individual. V'Atzas Hashem Yisakum. But all that ultimately is real, and all that ultimately is established, and all that ultimately stands true is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. It doesn't mean we don't plan. It doesn't mean we don't try. But it means in the end we have to be makabel whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be going through, ba'avu b'simcha, and know that's what's best for us. So about a week and a half ago, I was preparing for Shavuos, like all of us in this room, and I was super excited for Shavuos. A 3-day yontiv, you know, some people don't look forward to 3-day yontiv. I love 3-day yontiv. The more yontiv, the better. Shabbos Kodesh, going into yontiv. And specifically, you know, this year, I was away the week before on senior trip with my Talmidim, so I didn't spend much time with my family the entire week before. 3 full days, I'm in Virginia Beach, and then Thursday night I come back, it's senior dinner, and I've hardly seen my family the entire week, and I'm so excited to really spend special time. What more special time on Yontif with your family, with your children, with my wife. And as well, I was supposed to over Shavuos, I believe, give 6 different shiurim. So the whole week, on the bus of the trip, and at different times, I'm preparing shiurim. Hachonos, putting a lot of time and effort into what I was excited for, the Yontif of Shavuos. The Kadosh Baruch Hu had different plans. Kadosh Baruch Hu had different plans. Kadosh Baruch Hu's plans was I should be in a hospital. And if that's what he wanted, that was best for me. That was mamish best for me. And by the time we all leave tonight, you'll understand it just like I understand it. I already, Baruch Shem, Kadosh Baruch Hu already brought me such clarity that I already understand it, which is incredible matana from Hashem itself. Sometimes we're not able to see in the difficulty the bracha. But we have to still believe it even at the moment of the difficulty. I'll tell you, I shared this with my Talmidim on Thursday night. One of my biggest dilemmas throughout the entire hospital stay. And when I was in the hospital, as I'll discuss, I was in excruciating pain. I mean, I couldn't move even a drop without excruciating pain, high fevers. They had no idea what was going on with me. And like throughout the time, you know, you have like doctor after doctor, nurse after nurse come in to see you. Baruch Hashem. And immediately for their first question was, how are you doing? And every single time they asked me such a question, in my head, I had a big dilemma. On one hand, I want to say, Baruch Hashem, I'm great. Because as much as I was like physically in tremendous pain, and as much as I was suffering, like Baruch Hashem, I'm great. I know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is by my side. I know it's going to end good. I know this is what He wants for me. But then I'm like, first of all, they're not going to get it. They're going to think that I have, not just do I have physical ailments, but I have mental ailments. You know, they're going to send me, I don't know where, Chas V'Shalom. And secondly, like I need the physical help. They won't believe me that I'm in physical pain, and I actually do need the treatment and the pain meds or whatever they're going to do for me. So I had to, like, it was just a dilemma back and forth. But that's the dilemma of a Yid. The dilemma of a Yid to have that strong emunah within the tzara, even at the points that we don't understand. And to know Rabos Machshavas Belevish Vasas Hashem Yisakum. You know, it's really the story, I was thinking about it afterwards, but it's really the story of Rus. You know, all of Shavuos, I learned for 5 minutes. I was looking forward to, like I said, give 6 different shirim and learn many hours, hopefully, over Shavuos. I learned for a total of 5 minutes. Mamish, a total of 5 minutes. In the ER on Matzei Shabbos, first night, when you stay up all night, and I'm laying in the ER in some hallway, so my son was there with me, he was a tzaddik, we'll get to him later, and he went to the Bikur Cholim room, and he brought from the Bikur Cholim room things to eat. I couldn't eat a thing, but whatever it was, he was excited, whatever he found over there. It's like in and he says Tati, they have svarim there also. He brought a Rus. So at one point, I don't know, we learned for 5 minutes Rus. And I was thinking about it afterwards. It's really the story of Rus. Imagine Rus. Rus is this princess, this Moabite princess. You think in her wildest dreams she ever envisioned herself as a pauper, scrawling for a few measly pieces of wheat? Was that what she ever expected for herself? Was that her expectations, her visions, her aspirations? And that's where she ends up. But what is that all for? She ultimately becomes Mamish, the grandmother of David HaMelech and Mashiach Tzidkenu. So we might have our envisions, and we might have our aspirations, and we might have what we expect to be in our lives. The Ribbono Shel Olam always has better plans for us. And He has the best of plans for us. And in the moment, we have to believe that even when we don't see it. So the Ribbono Shel Olam had very different plans for this Shavuos for me. You know, Shavuos is a very special yontiv. Shavuos is a yontiv, the Sfarim say, it's the Rosh Hashanah of Ruchnius. All the ruchnias of your upcoming year is supposed to be determined on Shavuos. Yet I didn't daven one tefillah, and I learned for 5 minutes all of Shavuos, and I didn't hear Kabbalah Satayra. I didn't have even a piece of cheesecake. Mamish, nothing. So how am I supposed to take Shavuos into the year? What was my Shavuos going to be? You know, we just learned Parshas Naso. It's a beautiful Torah. You know, most of tonight is going to be a very different type of shiur than we usually have. We try to pride ourselves that like our shiurim are really very strongly Torah based, and not just quote unquote fluff. You know, Maven Yavin. But you know, the Baal Shem Tov used to teach through stories because that's what he knew his dar needed deeply. And the Emes says he wasn't the first to teach the stories. You know who the first to teach the stories was? It was the Eibishter. It was the Ribbono Shel Olam. You open up Chumash Bereishis. What is Chumash Bereishis? Just the stories. And we learn the deepest lessons from those stories. So tonight's going to be a very different type of limud. It's really just going to be limudim from the story of what I went through. But I want to start at least with one Torah. From this past week's parsha, from today's parsha, from Parsha's Naso, and it's Torah I might have shared before, but I think about this Torah all the time, in moments of inspiration. Chazal asks, and Rashi brings it down, Lama nismecha Parsha's Naso, the Parsha's Soita. If you open up this week's parsha, you saw that right after the parsha of the Sota is a woman who cheated on her husband and drank the Mesota and her stomach burst. You all know the story, right? Right after the parish of a Nazir, an individual takes upon themselves Naziris, not to cut their hair, not to drink wine. So why? What's the purpose of that juxtaposition? It's a very famous Rashi, I'm sure many of you know, right? So Rashi says, Kol haroa Sota b'kulaseha yazir atzmo min hayayin. If you were there, imagine, you're there, you're present, and you see this sota, you see this woman who cheated on her husband, and stomach blows up, you say, that's not for me. I don't want that ever to happen to me. And you think to yourself, what could have possibly brought this person to cheat on her husband? Maybe she was under the influence of alcohol, not thinking straight, drinking. So I'm going to become a nazir and not drink, so that won't happen to me. First time I heard this, the following question, it was 19 years ago, the summer of 2000. It was my first summer married. I was in Ensi Svekola with my wife. It was the first summer of Mayor Tversky was in Ensi Svekola as well. For Shiva from YU. Sadiq Yisrael Olam. And it was a Lel Shabbos Tish in Efrat, a gorgeous Friday night. It was the last summer that Ensi Svekola was in Efrat. No, there's anyway, I don't ever spend any time in Efrat. You know, the nights in the summer in Efrat are like the most beautiful things in the world, with the wind blowing. And it was an outside tish, and he asks on this Rashi, he says, I don't understand. If you were present and you saw that woman's stomach blow up, you're the last person that needs to take upon yourself something to ensure that you don't cheat. You're going to have that image in your head, you're going to have that inspiration with you, you're not going to cheat. You're not going to allow that to happen to you. Why do you have to become a Nazir? And he answered so beautifully, as we all know. We all know that the moments of inspiration in our life, they fade very, very, very quickly. And at moments we feel like we're above everything else, and we're a changed person, and by the next day, we're back to being the same person. And I'm at a Chesnish, you know, it's Ne'ila of Yom Kippur, and I feel like I'm never going to go back to the ways that I was, and 2 days later, it's like Yom Kippur didn't even happen. So it's only if in the moment of inspiration that we concretize that moment by making concrete changes in our life, that's how the inspiration will have an effect on our life and change our future life. So it's at that moment I have to become a Nazir. And then that moment will stick with me through that Naziris. The inspiration will stay with me. Beautiful idea. I'll never forget. Same is true for everybody in this room. I'm sure each and every one of you had moments of inspiration during Shavuos. Whether it was by Kabbalah, Satira, whether it was learning at a shir at night, whether it was a tefillah, it's important to concretize that moment. And if you haven't yet, you still can. After Shavuos, you have days of Tashlumim to make it up, and that's ending right now. So now's the perfect time to concretize, to think about how you want to pull Shavuos into the year, and not allow Shavuos to just be a fading inspiration. But I was thinking about this Torah all week, and I'm thinking, what about me? I didn't have Shavuos. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided I'm not supposed to have Shavuos this year. All the excitement and all the preparation, I didn't daven one tefillah this Shavuos. As I said, I learned 5 minutes. I didn't hear Kabbalah's Torah. I didn't how I look forward to it. I daven by the Rebbe, the Aslof Kalashina Rebbe, Rebbe Spiegel. If you've heard the way he lanes Kabbalah Torah. You feel like you're standing at Har Sinai. I can't explain it if you haven't been there. And I look forward all year for that. That Shavuos morning to be there. And I didn't hear it. And not only did I hear the Rebbe's Kabbalah Satar, I didn't hear any Kabbalah Satar. You know, we had flowers throughout the house, like all of your homes. But I was out of the house by, like, right as Shavuos was beginning, I was getting into an ambulance. So how am I taking Shavuos into the year? What was Shavuos meant for me? What was going on here? So like I said before, Rabbos Machshavos B'Levish V'Atzas Hashem Yisakum. And I'll tell you, MS, it was by far the most inspirational Shavuos of my life. And the most life-altering Shavuos of my life. And I want to share some of the lessons with you. And we'll go through the story of what happened, and through that, bring out those points that hopefully we could all gain from and remember and be mechazik ourselves in. This all began, actually, on Friday night. Lel Shabbos, I'm sitting at the Suda with my family. Before that, had no symptoms, nothing. And I'm telling, it's about 10:30 at night, Friday night. We're sitting at the Suda. My kids are all there. My wife. Right? The beginning of the three-day Antiv is very exciting. And I start telling a story. It was an amazing story that I heard during the week about a Chabad shliach from Beijing. It was going around, maybe some of you heard it. And I start telling the story, and in the middle of telling the story, I literally feel like mamish, like tremendous pain in my entire, like both sides of my pelvic area, my lower back. It was very strange. I had to like literally get out of my seat. And the emes is, my family started like, they start laughing at me a little bit. You know, it looked funny. Like, what, out of nowhere, Tati, what's going on, you know? I'm like, no. It's like, I'm telling you. It was like, but really out of nowhere. And it just got worse and worse. And suddenly I could hardly walk. I'm only able to walk, like wobbling. So that night, across the street lives the elephant family. And they were making like a small Shalom Zachar. The daughter had a baby boy, Baruch Hashem, that day. So I thought, Dr. Zev Esh lives a couple doors down. Thought maybe he was by the Shalom Zachar. I said, my son, go see if Dr. Esh is there to come over. And he goes there. Dr. Esh wasn't there. But Mayor Kringle, who's a close friend of mine, who's a member of Hatzalah, was there. So he comes over. And he's talking to me, and it was very strange symptoms. The whole thing to just be spurred on as I was literally sitting in my seat. It wasn't like I was making movements or anything. So he decides he has to call a paramedic from Hatzalah, who was very knowledgeable. This guy by the name of Aaron Gottman. And he immediately comes over. Now, first of all, before even going further, you know, we always talk about Hatzalah, and I'm sure everyone in this room has had some unfortunate circumstance where we've needed Hatzalah. It's mamish the realization and recognition of the Mesiras Nefesh of these malachim in our community. They were back and forth for the next 12 hours until I went into the hospital. And then even in the hospital, they came. It's all another story to visit because they were dropping off somebody else, so they came to visit me. The mayor and Aaron specifically, and a few other members of Hatzalah, like mamish non-stop back and forth in my house. But not just like, you're talking in the middle of a minyan, in the middle of their Yontif Suda, before the Yontif Suda starts. But not just doing. Like, not just B'Simcha Rabbah. As if you're doing them the greatest favor in the world that they're missing their Yontif Suda with their family to help you. It's like the most incredible people. We have to realize that and recognize that. You know, you hear about it, it's so nice, we have Hatzalah, if you get hurt, you just call, you know, 718-230-1000, and they're going to be by you, and it's like, we take it for granted. These are like malachim in our community. It's something just mamish incredible. So, in the end of the day, the whole thing was very strange. We all assumed it must have been like some bad pulled muscle for some reason. And they said, if I want, we could go to the ER. But I know what the ER means. ER means hours upon hours and probably no figuring out nothing. And I said, you know what? So they left. But the pain was so great. I was able to get up the steps. I couldn't even get into bed. Like, the way my body to twist in that way was impossible. So I have, like, a chair in my room, like a comfortable chair. I sat in the chair all night long Friday night. Fell asleep a few hours, hoping that I'd wake up in the morning and it would be a lot better. I thought it would pass. Like, you know, you get a... I happened to have that week played a lot of ball. More ball than I played in like a year because I was on senior trip with my Talmidim. And I danced a lot on Thursday night. I happened to carry some heavy tables, Erev Shabbos. I figured something, whatever. I wake up in the morning and the pain's mamish, if a little bit worse already. I could hardly walk at this point, but I make my way downstairs. And I can't get to shul. It's like impossible. So I go sit down in my where I learn and I daven. And I was having also a bunch of talmidim come over for Shabbos Suda that day. So I complicated things a little bit. You don't want to mess that up. It wasn't nice. So I held out a little bit and I took some pain medication, but it really, really didn't do much. And then I sent my son to go get this guy Jason Bernstein is a physical therapist. I thought maybe he would figure out what it is and tell me what I could do and what position I could be in. He comes over. He thought it must have been a disc that was out of place, that was hitting a nerve. It'll get better. Whatever. Okay. Fine. Then we have the suit. If I was sitting straight like this, it was painful but bearable pain. So I go through the suda. We have Shabbos suda. And after they get up, and I mamish, like, at that point, could hardly walk. Like, I mamish hardly walk. So the guys leave. My wife calls Atzal again. And Aaron comes back, and Meir comes back. So now they decide they're going to call Chashav Tzadik, who I went to school with in MTA. His name's Avishai Newman. And he's a pain management expert. So he comes in from North Woodmere. Middle of Shabbos, I don't know, he must whatever he's doing with his family, doesn't matter, nothing else matters. He's the sweetest guy in the world. And he comes over, and he does his thing. I'm not going to get through exactly what he gives me, but he gives me some serious stuff, which knocks me out completely. It's like, now it's already like 3-4 in the afternoon, so I'm knocked out. And he's hoping this might do the trick to just deal with the pain. We're still hoping that night I'm going to get to my shiurim, like a Shavuos night, like possibly. Because no one could imagine it's anything serious. So I'm knocked. I can't make it up the steps anymore. I basically fall asleep on this like couch bed that I have in this small room off the kitchen. Knocked out for like 5 hours. Gone. I mean, I hardly slept the night before also, okay. I wake up from that, and now not only am I in the same tremendous pain, but I also mamish have this like really high. My wife feels me that I'm like crazy hot. I take my temperature, and they realize I have over 102. And immediately my family runs to Dr. Ash. Dr. Ash comes and says, "You got to go to the hospital. If you have 102 with all these symptoms, it could be something very serious, and you got to go." Aaron Gutman comes back, along with some other Atala members, and they take me to the hospital. And then I'm in the ER all night long, basically. And they do mamish every single test you could imagine. MRIs, CAT scans, X-rays. A doctor told me that it probably cost about $1 million my hospital stay. That's what the doctor said. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know how much. This is what I'm saying. He said it in a serious way. My son got nervous. My son, because he knows from driving, you know, you get into an accident, your insurance goes up. See, Shmuel, he says to us, he says, "Does that mean our insurance is going to go up?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it. It's all good." But anyways, like, mamish every test under the sun, but at this point, I'm excruciating pain. And they're giving me, like, serious stuff. They gave morphine, they gave me something, I keep forgetting what the name is, Dilaudin or something like that. They said it's 6 times morphine, and it did nothing for me. When I say nothing, like, zero to my pain. Like, I still, if I was laying straight, so I was in bearable pain. If I moved an inch in any way, excruciating pain. Like when they had to do tests, they had to literally lift me on a sheet to the neck, and that was like crazy painful. But they had to lift me. I couldn't move to get into any other position. Mamish, that alone, by the way, just to appreciate the ability to, like, stand up, to appreciate the ability to walk. I never before understood why it was. You know, every morning we get up and we make brachas. You ever think about it? One of the brachas we make a bracha thanking Hashem, Zoykev Kefufim. You know what that bracha means? Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to stand up straight and not have to be bent over. And you ever think about it, like, really? That's what I have to thank Hashem for every morning? Aren't there much grander, greater things that I have to thank Hashem for? And then we make a bracha, Hamechi Mitzade Gover, which basically says Hashem gives us the ability to take steps. Really? Like, aren't there much bigger things we have to thank Hashem for? And the answer is no. We have to appreciate it. We have to start appreciating every little thing. And I tell you, when you're laying in a hospital bed for days, and from literally Matzei Shabbos until Monday afternoon, I didn't change a position. Like, from Matzei Shabbos till Monday afternoon, I didn't leave the bed I was in. It's a long time. Because if I moved even a drop, it was excruciating pain. So when you're able to finally stand up for the first time, it's like the craziest simchas achayim and appreciation to just be able to stand and to be able to take a step. To appreciate the small things in life. That was the second lesson. The first was the malachim of Hatzalah, but the second was just appreciating the small things in life. So eventually I'm in the ER all night long, and they can't figure out what's going on. They have no idea what's going on. So they say they have to admit me into the hospital. I really thought, and all the Tzal members thought, they're going to send me to the hospital, they're going to give me a cortisone shot and send me home. Like, it's some sort of muscle pain, whatever. But everything came up, they couldn't understand. But they also saw that I had this fever and that my white blood cells were, like, really, really high. There was a lot of confusing, crazy stuff going on. So they had no idea, so they admit me into the hospital. And so that's all Matzah Shabbos. Sunday morning, still nothing. Sunday afternoon, so my wife was with my son Shmuel came into the hospital with me, because all the kids were home, so Shandy said she didn't want to leave all the kids alone, and better, so Shmuel said he'll come with me. And then in the morning, Shandy came and Shmuel went back home. So Shandy's with me, it's Sunday afternoon, and this was the one time that was actually scary, MS. My fevers, it peaked over 103, and that was after giving me, like, tons of medication. It wasn't going down, it just went, like, way over 103. The pain was still the same excruciating pain, and suddenly, like, my entire body starts shaking uncontrollably. Like, mamish, like, uncontrollably. My teeth start, you know, like, crackling, and my whole body, I have no control. I couldn't gain control of my body. And then I start throwing up. And it was, like, a very, very scary moment, because they still had zero inkling of what was going on after doing, like, every test they could think of doing. Like, all the blood tests and MRIs and X-rays and CAT scans and anything they could dream of, they did already. And they still have no idea. And then this is happening to my body. They thought it must have been some sort of, like, serious infection. I was already on antibiotics, like, dripping into me. And then this is going on. I remember, like, at that moment, that was the one time I was scared. It was, like, just when I was trying to, like, just stop the trembling of the body, and I couldn't. And I was, like, you have no control. And it was really, you know, pain is one thing, but, like, mamish having no control of your body. It was a very scary moment. And then at that moment, they gave me, for the first time, Tylenol by drip. They don't usually give Tylenol by drip because it's $2,000 every single time. But they finally gave me Tylenol by drip. That was the first time I had... It took down the fever almost, like, mamish miyad, almost immediately. And it also, like, it calmed me and I stopped shaking. And it, for the first relief of the pain on some level, was when they gave this Tylenol by drip. I remember afterwards thinking, mamish, just hakaras atov. Just mamish hakaras atov for every moment we have in this world. Because I know, like, my life literally flashed before my eyes for a moment. Because your stories, you know, of people, they go in and you have an infection, so you never know. The Eibishter has his plans for everybody. And when that was happening to me, and afterwards, it was I had such a karza tov for every moment in this world. And we have to have a karza tov for every moment in this world. We take it for granted. So from that point on, that was when things started to like slowly be on the up, even though they still had no idea what was going on with me. That took another 2 days. But then I'm in the room, and then at least we figured out what would help the pain somewhat, even though they didn't want to give me that again. They gave me ibuprofen by drip. But Baruch Hashem, we were able to at least manage the pain a little bit. But then, so then I was like a little bit, had more of a wherewithal what was going on. And I was listening. So I was in a room with a roommate is, you know, on the other side of the curtain. Let's tell you about that roommate for a moment. It was the biggest chizik in the world. This roommate was a Trinidadian man in his, like, he must have been like in his 80s, okay? Cutest man. And, you know, a few times a day I'd see him just walk by, basically, because I was stuck in the bed, so whatever it was. But, and he was so sweet. But the entire time I'm there, all that I hear him, the entire time, any phone call, anyone that comes in, any, and even by himself, God is the best. God is great. God is good. Bless God. Ah, oh God. Every word out of his mouth was how God is amazing. Now again, I don't know what God he was talking about, you know, but Lemaisa, I heard through just conversation, this is the guy that was like in the ICU and not in good shape and Baruch Hashem doing better, but like, to hear him verbalize that like nonstop was such a chizik to me. Because we should be the same. To thank Hashem every moment. To be thanking Hashem throughout our lives. How amazing the Ribbono Shel Olam is to us. How incredible the Ribbono Shel Olam is. You know, there's this new movement. We'll get to that a little bit later. How it even played a role in this whole story. But the whole new movement started by... what's his name? Charles Bloomstein, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you, Hashem. You know, you see the bumper stickers and hats, and he wrote a whole song that then Joey Newcomb did. Thank you, Hashem. And you know what? It's awesome. It's awesome to say thank you, Hashem, and to start... We might even think it sometimes inside, but to hear this man, like, non-stop, every conversation. There was nothing else I heard him say. Like, he'd be on the phone and have this like 5 minute conversation, and the whole time he'd just talk about how God is great. Like, they didn't talk about anything else. That's it. And people would come visit him, his children and grandchildren, whatever, and all that they'd be saying back to each other was like, God is amazing, God is great, God is... Like, it was the most amazing thing in the world. And it was such chizik. Like, we have to talk like, okay, obviously we'd be looked at strange if like nonstop, but could we say it a little bit more to say thank you, Hashem, for what he does for us, for our health, for the small things, for the ability just to stand up. That was my first roommate. My next roommate, you know, that was Monday. So Monday afternoon, finally, was the Monday afternoon, second day Yontif, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know from Yontif, but I'm just trying to, for you guys, just to put it into perspective, right? So Monday afternoon, the temperature in my room was like not working correctly. It was like boiling in the room. So I'm thinking it's because of my fever, which is high. But every time even when my fever went down, I'm like, Mom is incredibly hot. So finally my wife like, no, it's crazy hot in here. So they got us to switch rooms. So we switched to another room. I was excited, thinking this is great, you know. And it was the first night like I felt... I didn't sleep Matzei Shabbos. I didn't sleep Friday night. I didn't sleep Matzei Shabbos. I didn't sleep Sunday night. A few minutes here and there because of all the pain and because everything going on. You know, some of you maybe stayed up one night. The one thing I did Shavuot is I stayed up a lot of nights, you know. There were a lot of nights I stayed up. So it's Monday night and I'm in this room and comfortable. I felt like less pain based on what they were giving me. They finally figured it out. I'm ready to finally like go to sleep. And they bring in a new roommate into the room. First, I was in there alone, and they bring in a new guy. Okay. But sadly, this guy, mamish the whole night, I don't know why they brought him on this floor. He should have been in the ICU or like a much more intensive unit, he's like going into cardiac arrest. And his heart keeps on stopping, and they keep on coming in to revive him. And it was much scary, like MS, like crazy. And basically, I'm up all night. I don't get to sleep 1 minute because of this. Not that I'm complaining about not being up 1 minute, although that morning I said I'm not staying in the hospital one more night, that's for sure. It's a whole other story we'll get to, but I remember it was like 6 o'clock in the morning when they finally like took him out and they stabilized him enough to bring him to the ICU at that point. And I'm thinking that I look up and I remember I say, thank you, Hashem, whatever you're bringing me or whatever. And at this point, still, this is Monday night, now Tuesday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. They still had no idea. I'm in the hospital since Monday, obviously. They had no idea what I had, what was going on with me. They figured out how to relieve the pain somewhat. And like I got out of bed twice so far and walked like a few steps under the pain medication, but they still had no idea what was going on in my body and what it was all about. But I said, whatever you brought me, whatever's going on, missing Shavuos, Baruch Hashem, I have chiyus, I have life. You know, my Rebbe, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, he used to always give a shmooze, I heard from him many times, based on the Torah from Chaim Shulavitz, the Oishir HaChaim, about how priceless life is. My Rebbe suffered like nobody else suffered, with Parkinson's disease, everything he went through. But he spoke about just the gift of life, and what one needs to do with chiyus, with life, making the most of life that Hashem has given you. And when you're laying in a bed all night next to a guy who's mamish all night long hovering between life and death. I mean, as a kohen, it was mamish scary. I felt for him, but I'm like, I didn't know what I would do. It's really MS. Like, it was like, you get to appreciate chiyus. Appreciate just the ability to be alive. That you can't take that for granted. It's something very, very real. So that was the next lesson. My next roommate was a criminal. The cops were trying, whatever, but that's all another story. We're not going to get into that one. No, MS. The cops kept him coming. He like OD'd, and he was like, they kept him coming wanting to take him, but the nurses would never let him. That's all. I don't know. I left before that was taken care of, but he didn't look too exciting to be around. Like, you had three officers walk into the room every few minutes trying to, I don't know, interrogate this guy, but whatever. All right, so it's Tuesday morning, and I haven't slept Monday night, and they still have no idea what it is. Now, Baruch Hashem, Monday night after Yontav, I finally spoke to my close friend, Dr. Shlomo Kaufman, who's an incredible, my best friend in the world, but he's also the genius of an individual and a big... He's a radiation oncologist in the Cleveland Clinic. And I told him what's going on with me, and within a minute he said exactly what it is. It's like unbelievable. Like he said, this is a test they have to do, and this is what's going on. And Kachave, he was 100% right. It's like, it was crazy. The truth is, Rav Baruch Ber Bender from Achiezer sent Dr. Haller... was a tzaddik, also a very special person. He came to finally see me, and he said the same exact thing also. And finally, on Monday afternoon, they did this test and figured out what it was. But we'll get to that in a minute. But before we get to that, so basically, I needed another MRI. They did an MRI on my spine, but they never did an MRI on the place where the major pain was. Now, why not? I have no idea. You'd think, right? Shem Yirachim. Not that any of it would have mattered, although it would have mattered because they pumped into me antibiotics for 2 days that I didn't need. But you know, I go to a hospital, I'm there for 3 days, I didn't eat one thing, and then I hardly drink, mamish for 3 days, right? So I think I'm going to get home at least one good thing I thought, besides, forget about all these lessons we're talking, that's it, but I thought, oh, at least I probably lost some weight, right? That's what I said. Yeah, so I figured at least... something good will come out of it. I probably lost some weight. I get on the scale the first night I'm home, and I gained 4 pounds. I said, how's this possible? Mamish, gained 4 pounds. How's this possible? Why? Because they're pumping liquid and IV and antibiotics and with all the... into my body for days. I'm like bloated as could be. And none of that did I really need. But okay. Anyways, Lamaisa. So heroes of the biggest... there's something for each and every one of you to always remember. And this was the most emotional time of my... in the hospital, you know. In the hospital, you're just dealing with what's going on. You don't get too emotional. So afterwards, all these lessons, by the way, as they were going on, I didn't really even think about them much. It was more after the fact. It was really on the ride home from the hospital. All this came, like, hit me, like, mommy, I can't... We'll get to that. It was... But so I'm being transported. So a guy comes to get me on Tuesday afternoon to transport me to get this MRI done. Now, by the way, all Tuesday, every nurse that comes and every doctor, I say, by the way, you know, I'm going home today. So like, you're not going anywhere. We don't even know what you have yet. And you've been in excruciating pain for days. You could hardly walk. You know, you've had a fever over 103. You're not going anywhere. You'll be lucky if you get home for the weekend. So I said, no, you don't understand. I would tell all day Tuesday, everyone else came to me, I said, I'm going home. I'm going home tonight. So finally they take me, we'll get back to that in a minute, but they take me to the MRI. So to take you, they have these transporter guys. These guys just transport you from one place to another. So this individual is transporting me, so he pushes me in a wheelchair. Nicest guy in the world starts talking to me. I think his name is Christian, if I'm not mistaken. Very, very sweet guy. You know, it's all his arms full, tattoos. Nicest guy in the world. And he's asking me about my stay and what I'm there and what's going on. And I'm telling him everything. And then we're waiting for the elevator. And he asked me a question, and it was like, the whole time I'm there, the only questions being asked to you is how, you know, what's your level of pain? From what's your rate your level of pain from 1 to 10, where you're feeling, how you're feeling, how you're doing this, what, only about that. You don't like think much. And the first time I thought in like days, he's pushing me from behind and he says to me after we're talking for a few minutes, he says to me, what do you miss most about home? What do you miss most about home? And I immediately, without like flinching, without thinking, I just say to my kids, and I start like momish bawling. I've been to the hospital, I'm just like bawling. Because like I didn't, you know, for days you don't even think about it, you're just in pain and trying to get better. And that moment, not only did I like for the appreciate how much I missed my kids, I never in my life appreciated my kids more than that moment. I never in my life like fully grasped how special my children are in my life and how special they are, and that there's nothing else that compares to how important, how chashuv that relationship is. And whatever else I'm doing in the world, there's nothing more special than that. Like, they are my most special talmidim, talmidot. They are everything. They're what I'm leaving to the world. And it was like such an incredible like moment. The rest of the walk to the MRI, I'm just like bawling. Okay, I must think I'm crazy, but... But you guys should always remember that. B'shatayvu, every single one of you in the right time, when you have children, there's nothing more precious, there's nothing more special. I was reading a book today. My father gave me a book today. I think it's called Solitary, if I'm not mistaken. It's an incredible book. This Israeli pilot, he was the first Israeli ace pilot. Ace pilot means that you shot down 5 different enemy planes. And in the Six-Day War, he shot down 5 different enemy planes, this young guy. But then he was taken captive in 1969. He was doing a whole thing during a different war of attrition over Egypt, and he was shot down. He was taken captive in Egypt. It's a crazy story. And the whole book is about all the interrogations he went through while POW in Egypt. And then eventually Israel does this whole prisoner exchange and gets him back. And then he goes, and the whole time he has this like crazy broken leg and broken arm from the attack, whatever it was, and eventually gets back. It's crazy. He gets like back into the Air Force and continues to fly. It's like not finished. I have like 30 pages left, but there was one paragraph that blew me away. He was talking because you see how proud he is and of himself in a sense, not in a gaivadik way, in his world, in the world like the Air Force. Like there's nothing more important than you feel like you're on top of the world in protecting the country and caring for the country, and like that's the like the highest point in the military, you know. And he's a commander in the Air Force. And he has one paragraph where he talks about how his parents came over from Europe before the Holocaust and had the foresight and the insight and understanding and the love of Eretz Yisrael and built a whole future of Doros. And he says that anything he's done in his life paled in comparison to what they did in rebuilding Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Just like one paragraph like that. And I'm like, okay, with all that this guy's talking about, he totally gets it, you know? There's nothing more important than the future Doros and our children. And this transporter walking me, you know, reminded me that. It was like just an incredible, incredible chizik. And the moment I'll tell you that just continued, it was all Baruch Hashem uphill from there. Like, we had the MRI done, although the MRI itself was like mamish. That MRI like was over. I don't know if you've ever had an MRI. It's like, so Baruch Hashem, this is a first MRI. It's not like so bad, but it was like over an hour, and you're like, still, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to stop like in the middle. I told him and like, just stretch, and then they take me back for the MRI, and my nurse comes back, and this Tuesday afternoon around 5 o'clock. And my nurse comes in, and the nurse is like, listen, they didn't get the results for the MRI yet. You know, I want you to know there's like no chance you're leaving at earliest tomorrow. I'm like, no, you don't. I say to the nurse, and here I got like a little chutzpah dick. And it was twofold. It was based on my like roommate from the night before where I didn't sleep a minute. I'm like, I'm not going through anything like that again. But it was also on Wednesday morning was my son Uriel, who's 5 years old. It was his graduation to the JCC. So I said, you don't understand. I'm not missing my son's graduation. I'm not missing my son's graduation. So, like, I don't care if I get out of here at 2 in the morning, but I'm getting out of here tonight. Whatever time you got to discharge me. Whether you figure out what I... You had 3 days to figure it out. You can't figure it out, I'm out of here. Like, that's it. And my wife tried to, like, she was starting to, like, calm me down a little bit, but... As I'm saying this to the nurse, she was the sweetest nurse, that woman. She was really, really sweet. This woman, Jessica Wahlberg. She was great. But I felt bad. I was like tough with her a little at that point because I wasn't staying. As I'm telling her this, I'm telling you, as she's telling me I'm not leaving, a doctor comes in and says, we just got the results of your MRI. You have a torn muscle and you had a virus the whole time. You're discharged right now. Literally, as I'm telling you that, I was discharged on the spot. So Baruch Hashem. So I'm discharged finally Tuesday. Till we got out of there, it was like 6 o'clock. I get into the car. I still could hardly move, but I'm like, I'm getting out of here. I don't care whatever I got to do. So again, at the end of the day, it was a torn muscle. That's what the MRI showed up, a torn muscle, but in a spot that is like the worst of spots for your entire body to be able to move. And somehow, they don't even understand why I had a virus at the same time. If it was connected, if it wasn't connected, whatever it was. So I'm driving home. My wife's driving home. I'm in the passenger seat. I haven't driven yet. I don't know when I'll be able to drive because it's mainly all my right leg. And I'm just like, mom is bawling the entire drive home. There was such emotions getting out of there. And looking back now, all that I'm sharing with you, like, was just going through my head through this drive home. And my wife has on this, like, I don't know, this music that was just like, you know, forget about it. Just gets to you. It was, if anyone's holding in Natan Goshen, I don't know. But I mean, anyways, Lemaisa, and I'm just bawling the entire drive home. And I get home and I had one of the most special moments of my life. The whole thing was worth it for the next moment. I get home, and when I get home, I pull up, and all my kids are outside, and they're blasting on a speaker. They have that song I told you about, Thank You Hashem. They're blasting Thank You Hashem on a speaker, and they bring me to put on a Thank You Hashem hat, and they all greet me at the car. And I'll never forget the embrace of each of my children and the kiss, and we start, like, I'm just in place, but dancing. And that feeling of how special that relationship is, and how much Hakaras HaTov had to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was like the most incredible feeling of the world, and worth all that I went through. So I'm telling you, there's nothing more important. Don't get, when you're zeicher to be a parent, don't get caught up into so much that this world has out there, and waste your time with trivial pursuits. Just spend time with your family, spend time with your children, become best friends with your children. You know, I'll never forget, I'm sure I shared this story before, years ago, when my oldest son, Shmuel, who was like the biggest tzaddik in the world, Shmuel was with me every single night in the hospital. Every night he'd come to relieve my wife so that she'd be able to go home and be with other children and be able to rest a little. And he stayed up. I was there Matzah Shabbos, Sunday night, Monday night. All three nights he came. He was there all night. Wouldn't sleep 1 minute. He said maybe I'd need his help on something. He wouldn't let himself sleep three nights straight. He just stayed up all night, being by my side. And he did. He was by my side in ways I can't even discuss and describe. It was just incredible. I'll never forget, Shmuel was like a young child. It was like, whatever. He was like maybe first grade. And I once took him to school late, and I see one of his friends in the hallway that I knew his father very well. And I say to the kid, it was like a Tuesday morning, I say to the kid, do me a favor, you know, say hello to your father for me. And the kid says, I will, but it won't be till Friday night. I never see my father during the week. He doesn't get home till too late, and I'm already sleeping. So I'll give him regards on Friday night. And it crushed my heart. Whatever money he's making, whatever it is, you think that's worth it? Shem Yirachim. There's nothing more important you'll see in life than your relationship with your children. And to be an incredible mother. And to spend time with your children. And that feeling was worth it enough to go through all that I went through. Along with all everything else that I said. And I'll tell you something else what I realized. And and I've spoken about it before, and you know how much I love my Talmidim and my Talmidot. And I deeply feel that they're also my children. That my Talmidim, my Talmidot are children to me as well. And I try to be there for each and every one of you and each and every one of them as much as I can. But I'll tell you, I felt it in a way like I never felt it before. Because I was telling every single nurse and doctor that I'm getting home this night because I got to get to my son's graduation on Wednesday morning. But I didn't realize in my wildest dreams that I'd also be able to get to DRS graduation. Tuesday night was DRS graduation. And I thought I'd get home Tuesday. I really believed, and I davened, that I knew I'd get home Tuesday night. But I thought it would be like late at night, because of the way things were going. DRS graduation was 7 o'clock. At around 5 o'clock, right before that nurse came in, I sent a text to my Talmidim and DRS, to the seniors, like, I'm so sorry, I can't make graduation, thinking about you. I rolled up to the house about 6:45, spent time with my kids, as I just explained. And the graduation, the first part is like the graduation, the, you know, speeches, the boring part that whatever, nobody actually wants to be at. And then you actually graduate and go, you have a collation in the tent. So at about 8:15, my son Shmuel drove me over. And I could hardly walk. I could just get out of the car, and for an hour straight just stood like right outside of the car, hugging guy after guy. Embrace, and I was like, I was crazy emotional that night, obviously, as I explained, and just cried with every single guy, and it was an incredible feeling of what that relationship really is, and how special that relationship is. And that too gave me a tremendous chizik, to know how special that relationship is. And it was worth it for that moment also. Every one of these moments, and every one of these lessons, it was worth it for each one. And Achron Achron Chaviv, the final lesson, was just my wife, Shandy, who obviously I always love and care for and is the world to me, but like it was a different degree. When you have somebody by your side every moment for those days when you're in the like weakest and worst of places, and see not just her be by my side, but I'm going to give you a chizik for life as a spouse. Knowing exactly what to say and knowing exactly when not to say anything. You know, sometimes as a spouse, you have to know that your spouse doesn't want to hear anything, just wants you to sit by their side and doesn't need you to say a word. Sometimes it's better left unsaid. And sometimes you have to know what to say. Sometimes you have to know how to, and if I can't explain it, but my wife was for 3 days and continuously now, like I can't put on my shoes or socks yet. You know what I'm saying? Like I can't do a lot. Meretz Hashem, we'll get there. We're getting every day a little bit better. But forget about physically what she's been doing for me. It's just emotionally and knowing exactly. Now again, we've been married, Baruch Hashem, for, it's going to be 20 years, Meretz Hashem, next year. You should all be zocha to understand your husbands in a way that my wife understands what I need. And it was like, remember, like, as we're driving home, I wanted to say so much to her, and I couldn't even find the words what to say. It was like not too much later that night that I was able to verbalize a little bit to her, just a few words of Akar Zatov. Tipa Bayam. Drop in the ocean of what she was and how she was there for me. Like even that moment when I was shaking uncontrollably, and she must have been scared as well. Like it was crazy, and she somehow like was by my side in a way that I can't. But the whole time, everything and advocating, and every time to every nurse and every doctor, know exactly what to say and how to say. You guys should all be zoicha to be there by your husband in such a way, and not that they should need it in this way. But realize, you know, a lot of us have spoken over the years about dating, and a lot of you are in the parish of dating. I'm telling you this to explain to you something. There's nothing more important than, as you're dating, finding someone that's going to be your best friend in the world and understands you and understands what you need. Dating is not a business partnership. And yes, of course, you have to have similar halachic and hashkafic, similar goals and aspirations. They don't have to be exact. I'm telling you right now, mine and my wife's are not exactly the same. They're not. They're really not. There's a mutual, incredible respect and understanding, and close enough. We're not exactly the same. She's a lot cooler than I am. A lot. She's my best friend in the world, and I'm her best friend in the world. And that's the most important thing. Don't forget that when you're dating. And that's why you can't get engaged in a month. Stupidity. No one's going to know if you're going to be best friends in a month. It takes a little time. It's the most important decision of your life to find your best friend. If you count it up, according to my cheshbon, it was 8 different deep lessons that I took away from this tkufa of my life. You know, I started out by asking how, you know, Shavuos, you're supposed to be able to take away for the ruchnius for the entire year. How would I be able to do that if I didn't have a Shavuos? So I think it's pretty clear that I had a pretty incredible, inspirational, life-altering Shavuos. And I wanted to just share with you because I think these are lessons of chizik that we all could take. And like I said, it was 8 different ideas that we shared. Appreciating the malachim that help us in life, such as the Atzala members. Appreciating the small things we're able to do to stand up, to walk. Appreciating every moment that we have in this world. Appreciating Hashem. Appreciating life itself, appreciating our children, appreciating our talmidim, appreciating our spouses, Eight is l'malam and a teva. It was a supernatural. It was a crazy time. It made no sense in my life. I'd never gone through anything like this before. I hope to never again. But again, man plans and God laughs, right? Rabbos machshavas b'levish v'asas Hashem yisakum. This is what Hashem wanted for me. And this is what Hashem wanted for you, that I should go through this to be able to share this with you. It's the only bracha I could give each and every one of you. You know, this morning, Parshas Naso is Berachas Kohanim, I'm a Kohen, so I'll give you a Berachas Kohanim, Yisimeich Alim, Kisarev Gorach Alev, Rechna Shrecha, Yar Nepanav Alech, Vichunaki Yisa Nepanav Alech, Vizimcha Shalom. Should be Zoche that we all take the lessons that we discussed tonight to heart, so that none of us have to go through any difficulty to see these lessons again. And maybe the Rabbona Shalom sees that we appreciate all these lessons that we spoke about. The Rabbona Shalom won't have to bring us any reminders in a difficult way. It's all bracha. Hashem shemvarchan tov kach mevarchan ara. But we're not looking to mevarchan ara. We're not looking to say barach dain emes. We're looking to only simcha and only bracha. We should zayichet only simcha and bracha. Zayichet on geula Yeshua. Till we zayichet to the ultimate geula. With Mashiach zedkenu b'mheir v'yameinu. And we should have a wonderful, incredible week. And the Mirat Hashem will have, I think, one more shir before the summer, Mirat Hashem.